President Trump addressed the Conservative Political Action Conference this morning.
I would have come last year, but I was worried that I would be, at that time, too controversial. We wanted border security. We wanted very, very strong military. We wanted all of the things that we're going to get. And people considered that controversial, but you didn't consider it controversial.
Well, 6 years ago, when he spoke at CPAC, Trump was at times booed. This was his message today.
First, we need to define what this great, great, unprecedented movement is and what it actually represents. The core conviction of our movement is that we are a nation that put and will put its own citizens first.
So let's bring in our Friday Politics Roundtable. Joining us today, Maria Elena Salinas, news anchor at Univision. Hi, Maria Elena.
Hello. Good morning. Nice to talk to you.
Great to have you. And Greg Moore is also with us, former editor of the Denver Post and visiting journalism professor at the University of Colorado. Hi, Greg.
Hey, how are you? Good to be here.
Thanks for joining us. And Greg, what did you make of the president's speech at CPAC? He railed against the media and his former rival Hillary Clinton with chance of lock her up from the crowd. I just wondered, is this kind of divisive for a president of the United States to address this group in this way?
Yeah, I think it's unbecoming, certainly. But I'm beginning to feel that the attacks on the press are really losing their effectiveness, even with some of his own core supporters. I think it's an attempt to sort of deflect the devastating leaks that are coming out of the West Wing and his own administration, and trying to create this impression that you can't trust what you're reading about his own administration is a last ditch effort to sort of, you know, plug the leaks and stop the negative narrative. But, you know, he has not been able to completely let go of the campaign, and that was evident today with the continued mention of Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, he seems to be most at home in that kind of campaign mode. Maria Elena, he said the era of empty talk is over, and you have to give him credit. He has started to fulfill some of his more strident campaign promises, including around immigration.
Exactly, he has, and that's what he promised. But that's not necessarily, just like Greg said, inclusive, and it doesn't help to unite. You know, I think that, just like Greg, I was really struck about how he just continues to attack the media, you know, saying that he didn't get a standing ovation, so now he isn't only criticizing what is reported, but he also what he thinks will be reported. So, I mean, this speech was important to him because he's got the voters. Now he needs to convince the ideologues who weren't really on his side during the election. That's why his presence here was very important. But instead of putting some substance into his speech that will help unite the country, he spent much of the time discrediting the media, the only filter between him and the American people. He seems to still be obsessed with his win, with the polls, with the wall, with the trade deal, with our military weakness that only he and he alone can, you know, rebuild. I really did not hear anything new.
Maria Elena, on the issue of immigration, by the way, what has been the reaction among Latinos in this country to those guidelines released this week calling for a stepping up of deportations?
Well, immigrants are scared. They're petrified that their families will be separated. Many are not going to work. They're not sending their kids to school. And they're very, very confused because they're getting mixed signals. You get, three different versions, one from Trump saying deportations will be a military operation. Then you have John Kelly on his trip to Guatemala and Mexico saying there will not be massive deportations and that there will not be use of an military force. And then you have the third version, which is those recent memos that imply that everyone in the U.S. illegally is subject to deportation. So they're confused. They don't know who to believe, what to believe, and they're definitely scared.
Well, there also were some mixed messages from Trump and his team about, you know, relations with Mexico this week. Yesterday, the president called his plan to expand deportations of people living in the U.S. a military operation. Then his Homeland Security Secretary quickly said it wouldn't be a military operation. What do you guys make of those mixed messages coming from the White House, starting with you, Greg?
Yeah, I just think that the focus really needs to be on not what they say, but what they do. And one of the things I found really interesting is all the reporting about Tillerson and whether or not he's out of the loop. I think the reporting needs to focus on what is the substance of those meetings, what is he saying, and right now, you know, you're not seeing as much of that as I would really like to see. But I think it's important not to be distracted by, you know, the contradictions that may be at play here, and just focus on the deeds.
I think news
organizations are increasingly doing a good job of that.
Go ahead, Maria Lynn.
I just wanted to add to that, because relations with Mexico are tense, definitely. And sending Tillerson and Kelly to speak with high-level officials in Mexico, it might help diplomatically. But when you're getting this kind of mixed messages and anti-Mexico and anti-immigrant rhetoric coming from the White House, now who knows if that diplomatic effort will do any good?
Mm-hmm. The other big story this week, the anger at town halls by protesters from the left. This was what crowds in rural Iowa sounded like at a town hall for Iowa Republican Governor Joni Ernst. I said governor, I meant senator there, but crowds chanting, "Do your job." And there's Republican pushback that these protests are manufactured. I have to say, when you watch the videos, it doesn't look like that. Even protesters getting up and saying, "I am not a paid protester. I'm just saying what I think." Maria Elena, what do you think lawmakers are taking away from these town halls? Are they working?
I think they are. I think they're believing to realize that, you know, people voted for Trump. They supported Trump. But at the same time, a lot of people thought, well, he's not really going to do what he says he's going to do. You know, so you have this very mixed crowd that voted for Trump. It was conservatives, but then it was those who voted against Hillary Clinton, thinking that Trump would change his style and his rhetoric once he came into office. And a lot of people are very upset and very disappointed. And, you know, I'd love to hear what people say when they're being called liberal activists. You know, do they feel insulted? You know, it's interesting. I found a Twitter account that's called Trump Regrets. And I see literally thousands of people now beginning to say, "I voted for you, but now I regret it." You know, "I voted for you, and now I'm embarrassed by you." So they don't like what they're hearing, and they don't like what they're seeing. They don't like his persona. They don't like, you know, his rhetoric. And more than anything else, they even though it seems like he's keeping his promises, a lot of people think that that's not exactly what, you know, what they need and what they want, especially when it comes to health care and Obamacare.
And on Obamacare, Greg, we heard from the former Speaker of the House, John Boehner, saying this week that a full repeal and replace of Obamacare is not what's going to happen, that the Republicans will eventually just tweak the law.
Right. You know, I mean, Boehner was a pretty ineffective speaker, so I'm not sure how much stock you should put into that. But I do think that Republicans are really grappling with the hard choices that have to be made. And right now, you know, you're not seeing a lot of legislation or the coming together of legislation between this White House and the Republican Congress. And I think what you're seeing is the frustration at the district level that they're not getting traction when it comes to effective leadership through legislation. But I do think Boehner has a finger on the pulse of, you know, what's possible, and that was a devastating critique that he offered this week.
We have to say, though, that Trump is focused on the agenda he campaigned on. Here's Steve Bannon, senior strategist, in an interview at CPAC yesterday. He was sitting next to Chief of Staff Ryan Priebus talking about the Trump agenda.
All he's doing right now is he's laid out an agenda with those speeches, with the promises he made, and our job every day is just to execute on that, is to simply get a path to how those get executed. And he's maniacally focused on that.
Maria Elena, maniacally focused on his agenda.
Yep, he is. And like I said before, I think a lot of people thought that it was just a campaign rhetoric and that he would not really, really do it. So when you hear Steve Bannon as someone who is representing Trump and with a right-wing agenda, and when you know that it's Steve Miller who is writing his speech for next Tuesday in front of Congress, you know who really is in charge there and who really is influencing the president in helping him with his agenda. But, you know, talking about that speech next week, I think it's going to be really, really important because he needs Congress to move that agenda ahead. And you do have a skeptical Congress. We know that some Republicans are not 100% behind him, and he needs them. And, you know, it puts him in a tough spot, especially with some of the most controversial proposals, but at least it will be in front of a more diverse audience, not just, you know, his followers, but hundreds of Democrats in the room. He's not used to that. So it will be interesting to see, you know, will he attack them? Will they applaud? You know, how will they react?
Greg, 30 seconds left here, but the Democrats are meeting this weekend to vote in a new party chair. What kind of state are they in right now?
Well, I think they're in a state of disarray. You know, they're spending a lot of time looking back, and a lot of people want them to look forward, and a lot of them want them to be, you know, fierce opponents of the Republican agenda. Who they pick is going to set the tone for 2018 and beyond, and it's not clear who that leader is going to be. So this is a critical touchstone for Democrats going forward, and we'll learn a lot after this election this weekend.
That's Greg Moore, former editor of the Denver Post and visiting journalism professor at the University of Colorado, and Maria Elena Salinas, news anchor at Univision. Thanks to both of you.
Yeah, thank you.
Likewise.
Great being with you.